Blog Talk Radio.
Wednesday night edition, Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Today is Wednesday, October 6th. The season is just a few days away. It is our Atlantic Division season preview special. We're going to be joined by some of the guys from SB Nation who write for the Atlantic Division sites. We'll have them on about a half hour from now. Good evening, Eddie. How are you?
I am not happy. Tim Kennedy.
Era,
and you cannot wait for Tim Kennedy without feeling the wrath of the Kennedy family.
I am just happy they didn't send me to Hartford. Hartford is Buffalo, but without the class. I had it good in Buffalo. Why did they waive me, Era?
Era, last year I would have made this team over Van Vleeten. It's a goddamn shame.
I dated Daryl Hannah. Johnny Kennedy Jr. I was just kind of combining all of the Kennedys into one, you know, into one thing. We have a full chat room already. Good evening to all of you.
All right. Enough of the voice.
Costa says enough already.
Oh,
coming up, 5 minutes from now, Leslie Treff will be here, and she will join us for the entire show this evening. She's going to do 2 hours. She will do the roll call, and Eddie and I are just going to kind of cut out. We'll play.
She's going to recite the rule book.
She's going to, absolutely, and we're going to do, she's going to talk a little Phoenix Coyotes hockey for us. So enjoy. You've been a great crowd. Good night, everybody.
Good night. All right. So what do we have on tap tonight? What's going on?
Well,
am I going to have to be on my best behavior here with these bloggers from other teams? I mean, what kind of bloggers are we having in tonight?
We are going to be joined by Travis Hughes. He's the site manager for Broad Street Hockey, the home of the Philadelphia Flyers. We'll have Frank on. Frank is the leader of Pensburg. That's the Penguins blog. And we're going to have John Fisher on. He's from In Lieu We Trust. And he is, as I say, the New Jersey Devils advocate. And then last but not least, we will have Dominic Jansky on from Lighthouse Hockey, the home of the SB Nation home for the New York Islanders. And if you guys listen, for the three of you that might have heard last year's show, we did this. And these guys, they're all good guys despite their allegiances, and I think we'll have some fun with them. So we're looking forward to that. They'll be here in about a half hour. And you don't have to be on your best behavior. What are you wearing, a tie?
I might want to make some cracks with the Islanders and the Devils. I mean,
they can take it, they're big boys. Hey, look, say what you want.
Things get hostile. I mean, you know, I tend to bring out the ire even in the nicest of people when I start throwing the barbs, even though really as Ranger fans,
what are we going
to
say?
To brag about, but,
what are we going to say? We're going to have two of the four guys we're going to have on tonight have seen their team win a cup in the last 5-7 years. The other guy, his team beat ours to get to the cup. And then you got Dominic, the Islander guy. What can we say to him that hasn't already been said? So, you know.
Yeah, that's true. You're right. Okay. I'm just going to be diplomatic. I'm going to put my, since we're irresponsible fans, according to John Rogosko. By the way, guys, I know my friend would not bring this up, Tim Schmiedeberg, because he's a very modest by the way, Cutter wants us to play his rap clip during the Islanders on the island blogger is on. Anyway,
get right to it.
That, you're right on that one. You know, the blogging community, and especially BoosterAtBanner.com, has emerged victorious in the battle between credentials, as far as the NHL goes, versus the Rangers. It will be NHL credential NHL credentials will be given out to my compadre, Jim Schmiedeberg, and other
That's not a definite, but what the NHL has said is that there is no change in policy, which was not what the Rangers wanted. The Rangers wanted a change in policy to document that bloggers would not be allowed in and that they would be able to control who is credentialed and who is not. And the NHL has said there will be no change in policy. Now, in April, when the credentials are issued for the NHL draft, we'll see if my name's on the list. If my name's on the list, then we win. But it's a good sign. It's a good sign anyway. It doesn't mean we've won. It doesn't mean we've won anything. And by the way, good evening to the New York Ranger organization. We hope you guys are enjoying the show so far. Because they know where the best place to get Ranger information is and to hear the fans and what they have to say. It's right here on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. So good evening to all of them sitting atop Penn Plaza.
Yeah, but you're being modest again.
I'm not being modest. That's just the truth.
It was an article written in the New York Times, which on the Friday Times about this whole situation. And, of course, you weren't named, but it did kind of infer that this was all about you, which you've told me many times. Everything is all about you.
Well,
so,
yeah, I mean,
why
else would I be doing?
And John Rosasco, who is the and I can't say that name enough because you people need to know that name because he's
Mr. No Comment himself.
Fire John Rosasco. He is the media director of the Rangers, and what did he say? Hello?
That's
I'm
it.
Out of commission.
No, that was what he said.
He said nothing.
Exactly.
He said nothing.
Exactly.
Decline comment.
Decline comment. It is what it is. So, like I said, we'll see what happens when they issue credentials again, if I'm on the list. Or, for that matter, if anybody from SB Nation, if any bloggers who aren't Yahoo or FanHouse, if they are issued credentials, then this was a good sign. Then this shows that the Rangers can't control everything, and because that was kind of always my bone of contention on the whole thing. I said bone, but is that the Rangers don't only want to say that I can't or whoever. Let me take myself out of the equation. That not only do they want to say this guy, that guy can't be near Ranger draft picks, but he can't be near anybody's draft picks. We don't want him there talking to the guy that the Avalanche drafted. We don't want him there talking to whoever the Flyers drafted, whoever the Penguins drafted. We don't want him there. And we should have the right to say that. And they should not have the right to say that. They shouldn't have the right to say that John from In Lieu We Trust can't interview a Ranger draft pick. They shouldn't have the right to say that Travis from Five for Howling, the Coyotes site, can't interview the Canucks draft pick. They shouldn't have that right. They should not. But nope. That is what happens when you control the media and control information.
Do you notice that I always think this show is much more important than it actually is. But don't you think, and so far, maybe I'll get the chat. I always like to go to the chat room because they're the grassroots movement, so to speak. Sometimes they're another kind of movement that I won't go into. But right now,
Or sometimes they're just smoking grass.
Right. They are – do you think that the Rangers organization has kind of been more friendly, fan-friendly so far? We've got Sabres speaking quite often. It's all smiles and giggles with Torts over there. At the end of the last preseason game, he's smiling it up, chuckling it up. Do you think that perhaps their kind of Kremlin ways, which we have been, you know, basically bashing them for the whole offseason, has kind of made their way? Or perhaps maybe season ticket sales are down or something. I don't know. Do you guys think that they're a little bit kinder, gentler, or do you think, like I think, that once things go wrong, it's going to be, you know, don't ask, don't touch, or whatever they call that?
Don't ask, don't ever tell. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Have they dropped the price on season tickets?
No.
Have they dropped the price of joining Blue Shirt United?
Well, don't they have some other thing now, this Brotherhood?
I thought that was just part of the – I just put the link to the New York Times article in the chat room, by the way, if anybody really wants to read it. I thought the join the Blue Shirt Brotherhood, which I think is comical, I thought that was just a part of the ad campaign for buying tickets. Is that another fan club?
I don't know. I can't figure it out. The United, the Brotherhood – and what's
yeah,
going
I
on?
See,
are we getting a soccer team together or a cult? I mean, I don't understand.
You know what's funny? If you Google the term Blue Shirt Brotherhood, right, the first thing that comes up is purchase Rangers tickets. The second thing that comes up is somebody in one of our game threads saying, Blue Shirt Brotherhood is crap. Blue Shirt Banter is the place to be. And here's another one from our site, because this is what happens if you Google Blue Shirt Brotherhood. Join the Blue Shirt Brotherhood pop-up on the Rangers homepage is enough to make me dig my eyes out with an ice cream scooper. Our fans are so eloquent. The Rangers can either send him to Hartford or keep him here for 30 days. After those 30 days, the players go to Hartford or refuse and are suspended, and the contract is null. Thank you, Dig Deep. I appreciate that. All I knew was that after 30 days, the Rangers could send him to Hartford, but I didn't know what the rest of the – I figured, you know, there was some kind of implication. So I didn't know what it was.
Now,
so thank you. Thank you for that answer, Mr. Dig Deep.
Yes, thank you, Dig Deep. Now, let's talk about these topics that are just on everybody's tongues, and that's Vinny Prospo may not look – he may be out for the year, Jimmy. Old Vinny may be sent out to pasture a little bit too early.
Yeah, that apparently – I guess there's been no official confirmation on that, and I think – I thought I read somewhere that they're just kind of giving him a couple more days rest and they're going to see what happens. I believe they did put him on I think they put him on IR today along with Drury. But, the rumors are that he may be done for the year. And I'll tell you, you know, from a production situation, it sucks. I mean, I don't know what, even if you get 20 goals, you know, they'll miss that. But I think where they're going to miss him more is the on-ice leadership and the locker room leadership, because he is one of the few guys in that locker room that can be the I like to use your term here, the conduit of the Tortorella message to the fans. I mean, you know, for better or worse, he obviously gets Tortorella, and I think you know, he was that guy that kind of can help relay that message to the players. And without him there, I don't know who's gonna be that guy. Maybe Fedotenko. I don't know. We're going to ask Frank about that when we get him on the line in a little while from Pennsburg. Maybe he can shed some light on that.
Okay. I'm looking at this Vinny Prospo thing. I'm looking at
– excuse me.
Listen, we had a couple things with Vinny that we said, you know, for months before the even preseason began, that if the Rangers were going to go strictly youth, they really should – make the statement and have not re-signed Prospo. But it went ahead. They signed Prospo. We know Vinny has a Howard Johnson complex where he one good year, one bad year, one good. He was due for a bad year. I'm trying to look at the silver lining, but you're right. Vinny was a great conduit from Tortorella to the players, and he seemed to be the most vocal guy in that locker room when it came to addressing the media about the Rangers' bad play. The Rangers weren't going well. We weren't hearing it from Drury. We were hearing it from Prosper last year. I think it's going to be him and his tan will be sorely missed in that way.
And,
but it does,
you know,
go
ahead, finish. No, I'll wait.
I was just going to say, he will be missed in that way, but it will give the opportunity for somebody to step up, maybe somebody younger. And if the Rangers, you know, we're going to talk about it later with predictions, the Rangers are going to win a cup this year. But maybe it does give a younger guy the opportunity to step up.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. And, you know, guys will, you know, there'll be other guys that will be able to get some playing time. But, you know, the other thing I was thinking about is, you know, if you go back and you think about last season, who was the guy that was usually, you know, when there was a penalty or when there was something going on the ice, who was the guy that was usually talking to the referees? It was usually Prosper.
Yeah.
I kind of think he was – you know, I don't want to bring up – I'm not going to debate this again tonight, but I really think he was the unofficial captain on the ice, you know, in a lot of ways. And I think they're going to miss that.
Right. Yeah, I agree. But, you know, Vinny was – you know, he's a stopgap player. And listen, you know, hey, listen, we could use his 20-25 goals. There's no doubt about it. But I got to look towards the future. And listen, I want him to come back. I like him. He shows a lot of emotion out there. He's passionate. You know, I wish no ill will on him. I'm just saying, you know, it's just an opportunity. We all talk about that log jam on the forwards. Well, we're seeing that preseason, they're getting crippled by injuries. These are three main – I mean, I know – you don't give a squat about Chris Drury, but it's a pretty big injury. I know he may be back soon. I mean, you know, he is the, you know, although the penalty killing in preseason was good. But so then we got the other issue, which we started, you know, with the comedic rant at the beginning of White, Todd White, who seems to, for some reason, in five games of preseason or whatever, seemed to become a Ranger dog right away.
Yeah.
I think Tortorella gave both those players a real good look. I mean, he had Todd White playing quite often, kind of killing penalties and all kinds of stuff. And I was a little surprised that he got sent down because he is an older player, and they do need some, you know, veteran leadership somewhere. Now, especially Prosper, maybe gone for the season. And then you have Mr. Kennedy there, who, you know, granted, I'm not going to – listen, I like the pickup, but, I mean, he wasn't, you know, he wasn't impressing the hell out of me in preseason. So, you know, I think he's a guy that I would put in the minors and call him up. Everybody says he's a run-of-the-mill guy. You know, he can be a fourth-line guy on any team. Listen, the Rangers, you know, there's a fine line. He looked okay, you know, but there was nothing – outstanding about both of those. I was like, whoa, with me, you know. I had more problems with the cuts before that, which were Weiss and Zuccarello. But I understand both of them and the logistics of why they were sent down. And
I thought Larry Brooks made a good point. He talked about Kennedy. I guess this was today. And he said, you know, the Rangers did – he's talking about Kennedy, and he says it's not like they waived Rick Middleton. And if Kennedy goes, it's not going to mean the end of the season before it even begins. But it's extremely difficult to find an NHL player who can contribute at $500,000. And it's difficult to conceive of a better fit right now to fill the role as the 13th forward for the Rangers. He plays both wing and center. He can kill penalties. Low maintenance scratch, you know. So, from that standpoint, it's you know, a little bit of a head scratcher. But Yeah, we'll see what happens.
Okay. All right, now let's talk about the other thing everybody's just obsessing on. Sheldon Surek. Do we really
sent
want
to
this guy?
Sent to Hershey today.
We got sent to Hershey. All right.
Sent to Hershey. Pierre LaRouche's old stomping grounds.
That's true.
Ted Sater sent Surek down to Hershey.
So, is this the end of this business? That he's going to be a Ranger and there's a trade coming? I mean, come on. Are you out of your heads, Ranger fans, thinking they're going to get Surek? There's no way. Torts doesn't get anybody unless he's seen him play. He's got his preseason. He's seen the guys in preseason. He's got his mind who's where, where's what. He's not going to make a deal with it. Game one. Oh, yeah, you're out there. Come on. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, he did that with Jokinen. He had to play on point on the power play first game as a Ranger. But anyway, Sheldon Surek stinks, too, by the way. And yeah, he's good on the power play. He won the NHL's hardest shot 1 year. Big deal. He's injury-prone. He's old. I understand for a seventh. Rangers should have a veteran defenseman back there on the seventh. I'm telling you right now, I'm going off. This image of bros. Why is he on a team? Can somebody tell me? I'm sorry. He's showing me absolutely nothing. He just got like the... I know everything. Oh, he's only the seventh defenseman, Mouse. What are you getting all worked up? Can't we have a good seventh defenseman?
Hey, it's like trying to buy a Cadillac for a Honda price.
Eh. That sounds like our fearless leader. Oh, wait, he didn't say that.
The evil genius.
Evil genius. I guarantee he's going to be the Ranger whipping fan, whipping boy. You see that Eminger? He's the worst. And I'm worried about that defense. We got our guys on yet? Can I go off on this a little bit?
No, go ahead. We got about 5 minutes. Right. Nobody's on the line yet, so go ahead.
Okay. This defense is worrying me. Gilroy? He's worrisome. What happened in the offseason? Two things we needed on this team were not addressed, ladies and gentlemen. We needed a center iceman who could play make. Did we get one? No, it's Kevin Christensen again. Mr. 2 out of 5 games he shows up. Tortorella said it himself. Then he rings in an endorsement on Christensen the other day. 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago, he was a stiff, inconsistent. Now all of a sudden he's consistent? All right. What was the other thing we had problems with? Somebody tell me. What was the other thing we had problems with last year?
Would that be a physical defenseman?
That's right. A defenseman who clears the crease. Did we have that? No. Don't make me laugh. I'm going crazy.
I'm sorry.
Now, of course, we have Bugard. And I can tell you right now, there is nobody. Anybody that fights him is insane. That guy is a monster. He's a flat-out Frankenstein. I'm getting off this. They have not addressed the situation in front of Henrik's net. The only guy... And I know why they sent them down, that was able to clear the crease. And McDonough was physical, too, with Valentenko and McDonough with their two physical defensemen. And they sent them down. Now, I understand they're young. They got to get playing time. That's fine. But couldn't they have gotten somebody? Eminger is not physical. Gilroy is not physical. Dan Girardi. Mark Stahl, you got to, unless he's matching up against some of the top forwards, he's not really physical. He's got a long fuse, as we say. NBC, he's physical, but he's not really great at clearing the net because usually he's not in front of it. He's on the sideboards out of position. I love NBC, so I'm a listen. But, minus 17 or whatever it was last year. And Roosevelt. So So we got six guys, seven guys who were nobody clears in front of that net. And if Pembroke starts getting run over again, I'm going to be flipping out. You're going to be able to hear me without a microphone and without Block Talk Radio. In a center iceman position, how do we have Eric Christensen as our number one center? What in the hell happened? You got to be kidding me. Now, I understand that I think Zeta had a pretty good – I'll just finish on this. I think Zeta had a pretty good summer. But if you look at the major things that need to be addressed, I mean, we got Stephon, looks great. Frolov looks great. But the two major things we needed, we didn't get. James, it's all yours now.
I agree. And we're trying to, you know, and by the way, I guess we should announce since we didn't do it before. But, you know, since we're kind of focusing a little bit on the Atlantic Division tonight, you know, the other teams in the division, and get some takes on them, we are coming back Friday night at 8 o'clock with a full Rangers season preview for better or worse. So we hope you guys can join us Friday night. 8 o'clock, we'll be here, and we'll talk. That'll be strictly all about the Rangers and the upcoming season, so we'll talk about it then. We're just waiting for the guys to call in. Should be any minute now. You know, my Eric Christensen seems to be like, you know, I don't know. I have a feeling, you know, Tortorella's already said he's the first line center. That's it. He's playing between Gavrik and Frolov. That's it. Has Eric Christensen done anything to show that he could play the first line better than Anisimov or even Derek Stepan? I mean, Eric Christensen, folks, you know, it's a guy who, you know, on his showed up with the Rangers the second half of the season last year and, you know, played well at times. And, you know, like Eddie said, you know, even Tortorella said, would play two good games and disappear for five. And now all of a sudden, you know, he's the designated first line center. I'm already on record as saying that last three games before they tear that all apart. So, Eric Christensen, I don't know. He's the best option. Is he really the best option?
And this is something I said to you when we were talking the other day. Why does this seem to be a 25-step plan for the development of Artem Anisimov? I don't think Artem's ready for the first line. I don't. He needs to, you know, we'll move him up. What, he's a line per year? What's so good? Get Artem Anisimov on the first line. He plays everybody else at center on the first line. Last year he played Anisimov for three freaking games at the first line center.
Yeah, oh, that didn't work.
You went off on that? You went off on it.
That's my favorite. That's my bugaboo of the 2009-2010 season. Artem Anisimov, we're going to try him in there. Up two games, got to tear that down. Juggle the lines.
It's not working.
Minsky
from Wink. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm just yelling and ranting.
Why don't you ever start with me?
He doesn't want to
overwhelm AA. Yeah. He's going to break. He's going to drive me to AA if he continues this ridiculousness.
I like the 12-step program. We should come up with
the 12-step program,
for getting Artem Anisimov onto the first line. Does he have to make amends? Is that part of it? You know, like on Seinfeld,
yeah.
You have to make amends to those he offended on his way up. I don't know.
It's ridiculous. He's responsible. Now, I understand that Artem has, I think Artem, one of his biggest problems is, and this may be the reason he doesn't play with Gavrik. I think one of the things he needs to work on is his vision, as far as the passing goes. But I'm sure with Marian Gavrik and Frolov, buddy, you'll learn. Plus, you know, I like the two Russian players together. I always, and you know, you got what? Gavrik's a Czech. So, you know, you're like a little European, the Eastern Bloc line, we could call it. But no, they'll move Dubinsky from wing to center. They'll move Proper from wing to center. They'll move Delgado from defense to center, but no Artem Anisimov.
They'll move Biron from backup to center.
Yeah, we got it. He's got to be brought along slowly. So, yeah, with Jody Kelly and freaking Brandon Prust.
Brandon Prust.
Fullback. I do.
All right.
My apologies.
It's funny. I just thought it's, you mentioned Prust, and we'll talk about him later. But let's start. We have let's see. We have Frank on the line from www.pensburg.com. Frank, good evening to you. How are you?
Good. What's happening?
Not much. And we have, let's see, John has joined us from In Lieu We Trust. John, good evening. How are you?
Oh, it's so good to hear about the problems of the 2010-2011 Rangers already.
Oh, if you really want to hear about our problems, listen to our Friday night season preview show. That's just about the Rangers. All right. Let's also welcome in the one and only Dominic Jansky from Lighthouse Hockey. Dominic, good evening. How are you?
Good evening. I've been better.
Oh, oh, why? Why? Who got hurt today?
Is you on the show?
Nobody that I know, but
oh, okay.
There's still time.
Oh, okay. John, real quick before we get rolling, I just want to say I'm headed to Houston for the Giants game this weekend, and I'm hoping that the Giants bring their defense with them.
I'm also hoping that Sage Rosenfeld doesn't get into the game and try to run the ball for a first down.
Yeah. All right, guys. So I appreciate you all joining us, and we're just waiting on Travis. But you know, he's the manager of the hockey blog, so I guess he can. He's making a fashionably late entrance. So when we have him on the line, we'll bring him in. So let's start, Frank. We'll start with you since you're first on the line here. What's for the Penguins? What was the biggest surprise for the Penguins coming out of training camp?
Well, actually, I think that just happened today. You know, everybody's losing their minds over this fact that the Penguins prospect Eric Tangrady was sent down to not the AHL affiliate, but the ECHL affiliate. And wow. People are kind of losing their brains over this.
Now, he was a guy, I just want to jump in real quick. Now, I'm familiar with this player. Wasn't he, like, kind of penciled in to, you know, be on Malkin's line and the whole bit, like, get a lot of playing time? And
yeah, they had him kind of getting tossed around in top six talks. He was the other part of the trade when the Penguins sent Ryan Whitney off to the Anaheim Ducks. They got Chris Kunitz, and they also got this prospect, Eric Tangrady, in the process. And, you know, he came on board as a highly touted prospect, and he jumped right in, and they had him in Wilkes-Barre, and he was playing there, and he was doing his thing, and everybody had him. Yeah, they had him going top six this year. They had him in preseason play. He was playing with Crosby. He was playing with Malkin. They were experimenting with him a little bit, and then, you know, they drop a hammer today, and they say that they demoted him to the ECHL. But I will say that I really genuinely feel that this is just a way to circumvent something, and he'll be back on the team for the opener tomorrow.
Real quick, let me just interrupt for just a second and bring in Travis Hughes from Broad Street Hockey. Travis, good evening. Welcome to Blue Shirt Banner. You're on with Jim and Eddie. And by the way,
guys, how are you?
Good. Frank and John and Dominic, when you guys were on with me last year, Joe Fortunato was the co-host, and I just remembered that. So my co-host is Eddie, so I should introduce Eddie to you guys. Eddie, the guys.
I just want to announce to you guys I've been sent down to the ECHL.
Don't worry, it's just a roster move.
Yep.
Okay.
It's been placed on waivers. So Dominic... What's the biggest surprise for the Islanders coming out of training camp? And you can't say that everybody's hurt because that's too easy.
Yeah, that was really. I think we may have cursed them because we did a preview. I guess we had to do the first SB Nation preview because you know we were ranked around the bottom five or so about a month ago, and we said you know this team can compete if they get luck with health, and we saw how that went. But I'm thinking there really, aside from the injuries, there weren't many surprises. We know what they had. I guess their waiver claim of Michael Grabner is a bit of a surprise, but it was also something that wouldn't have been necessary or even an option if Kyle Oposo didn't get hurt. And Nino Niederreiter, you know, has made the team for now. That's also not a big surprise. We all kind of figured he would at least get a 9-game look. So it's pretty much, you know, just how they're going to cope with injuries from here on out.
Now the 9-game look, that's the window that they have to send them back to the OHL, correct? Or the WHL?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. basically the same thing we went through last year with Delzato.
Right.
Do you think he'll stick around? Do you think he's got a legitimate shot of sticking with the team? Or, I mean, with Delzato, when he came out last year, Ranger fans felt there was pretty much no way he'd go back to the OHL. But with Niederreiter, do you think is he here to stay, or do you really think it's an audition?
They're selling it as an audition. They're saying the right things, that, you know, he can't take anything for granted. And he'll be the youngest Islander to ever skate for the team. He just turned 18 last month. So there's a lot of reasons that you would think, that, you know, and he came over from Switzerland. It was his first year over in North America last year. A lot of reasons to think he would go back to juniors. But the way the Islanders have been, you know, with Josh Bailey, they kept him when a lot of people thought he should have gone back to juniors. I have this suspicion that, especially if Nino even shows a few glimpses of, you know, what he'll be as an NHL player, that they're going to find a way to keep him. So, but it, you know, right now they're saying all the right things, that there's no decision made. So we'll see.
Plus, just having him on the ice and with the Islanders will stick it to every Ranger fan every night that wanted Nino.
Right, there is that.
Including the host and the two hosts of this show. We were firmly on the Nino bandwagon, right, Eddie?
Oh, yeah. I wanted the Rangers to take it. You know, he gave us, you know, we talked to a lot of experts about him. He said he comes with an X factor. What that X factor is, I don't know. But I was down with El Nino then. And isn't Rob Shrimp also hurt, too? I mean, I think I heard that, too, as well.
Yep. He was the latest to go down.
He's out for a month?
Yeah, for him it's supposedly 3 to 4 weeks with some kind of back. I think it was Brian Rolston actually hit him in a preseason game, and it got him just right.
But I got to tell you, though, Dominic, I like the Grabner pickup. I think that was a solid pickup. Although it's kind of a mystery, you know. Wasn't he on Vancouver, then went to Florida in a trade, and I don't know what went on over there.
Yeah, I like the pickup, too. It's no cost, and, you know, you add another sort of first-round talent. So, you know, I think it was a smart move. We saw Snow do this last year with Shrimp. I forget who pointed it out to me, but Dale Talon is really a size addict, and Grabner does not have a lot of size. So, I mean, Talon's the type who's going to overlook skill for the sake of size. So maybe that's all that it was down there. They said he didn't impress, but, you know, I certainly saw flashes of him last year just when he played with Vancouver where, yeah, I would definitely give that guy an audition, especially now that the Islanders have, you know, a couple injury holes on their roster right now.
That Strite injury is going to kill him. And that's something that, I mean, the guy's a fantastic player, and he really is the catalyst for everybody. And I really... You know, when I watched that hockey night, not so live, with those four bald-headed guys, I don't know what they're talking about. And Butch Goring was sticking to his Islanders are making the playoffs. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, put the salt in the wound, but without a Mark Strite, it's going to be a tough road to hoe.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's, you know, I thought best case scenario, if health and everything worked out right, you know, maybe they could sneak into the last seed this year, but you missed Strite for most of the season. He's key to their power play, which wasn't that good to begin with last year. He's been the most consistent guy, and he does so many things for them. So it's just, you know, I mean, I'm going to be there rooting and hoping that everybody steps up, but it's just that...
You going to be there Monday, Ranger Islanders?
I am not.
I mean, Monday, yeah. I will be there. So look for me. I'll be being escorted out of the building probably by first period.
All right, moving on to the Devils. John, what was the biggest surprise for the Devils coming out of training camp?
That they got under the cap without training anybody. Truth be told, you never like to see injuries happen. Bryce Salvador took a nasty hit from James Van Rijmsdijk on Tuesday last week and left the game early, and it was revealed that he suffered a concussion. And in fact, it later came out that it wasn't just that hit, but it was a bunch of other hits plus that hit led to the concussion, and therefore he's out indefinitely. So between that and Anssi Samela's torn ACL, I believe, which he's still rehabbing, he went on non-roster, long-term injured reserve, so he didn't even get to the physicals part of training camp. That's how the Devils got the space to get under the cap. And they're surprisingly still making weird roster moves. let me hit you with the one that just happened, like literally a couple hours ago. With respect to the other the guys left on the roster, junior player Alexander Urban made it to the NHL team, and Matt Taormina, who was an undrafted defenseman, apparently made the team, but he was just sent down a couple hours ago, replaced by Adam Henrique, who didn't see the ice for any preseason games last year, or rather this season. So figure that one out. He's on the roster. Good job, Adam. You made the team.
Did you say Urban did make the team?
Urban did make the team. He is magically making the jump. He could be making the jump from juniors to the NHL.
Because he was a guy, when we had the game threads, the two, and I was going to ask you this when we got the Devils questions, but I'll ask you now since you brought him up. He was a guy that when we had the game threads for the Ranger Devils preseason games, he was a guy that everybody was talking about. So maybe you can give us your thoughts on him, what you thought of his preseason.
Well, you know, truthfully, I'm a big fan of what George Ayers, I'm not sure how to pronounce the last name, on the blue shirt bent, who showed that young guys don't play defense good. And Urban coming straight out of juniors, I didn't think he had much of a chance to really make the team. He'd get a couple games, put him in the minors, let him develop. But no, in the preseason games, right from the get-go, he's looked very poised, very calm, and he looked very good next to Henrik Kalander. He looked all right next to Anton Volchenkov and the other defensemen. But he, you know, unlike other young defensemen who seem to have that one moment of panic or, you know, just make a couple awful reads or just get in the wrong position, Urban handled himself very well. He could surprise everyone and actually, you know, stick around the whole season.
I guess
okay.
A couple questions. Can I ask a couple questions, Jim? Am I allowed?
Of course you're allowed. Are they Devils related? Well, are they Devils related? Okay. Well, let me just ask Travis real quick about the Flyers training camp, and then we'll start back with the Devils, and we'll go team by team, and
yeah,
we've got a couple of questions.
I'm down. All right.
So Travis, what was your biggest surprise coming out of training camp?
It's got to be Sergei Bobrovsky, the goalie. There was a lot of hype surrounding him coming into camp. You know, he played over in Russia, and he played on an absolutely terrible team in the KHL, and he still put up great numbers. So there was hype surrounding him, and, you know, everybody knew that he had talent, but he came into camp, and he absolutely shocked everybody. And he got help with an injury to Michael Layton, but he made his way onto the roster, and he's probably going to get a start or two or three, or he'll get a couple starts while Layton's still on the shelf for the first couple weeks of the season, at least. So, that has to be the biggest surprise. I guess I don't know if this is a surprise, but Nick Jaridev has looked absolutely fantastic in camp. That might be a surprise to you guys, Ranger fans, but he looked pretty darn good.
We'll ask you again about Jaridev in November.
Hey, well, he has Claude Giroux to play with all year, so he can just – I mean, those two, they played most of the preseason together. All joking aside, they looked just crazy good together. I mean, just the amount of talent those guys have, just the raw talent and the ability is just absolutely incredible.
In November, when he plays five games in a row wandering around the ice like a three-year-old at a soccer game, we'll ask you again about how you feel about Jaridev.
Well,
that's the
okay, question, though. How did he look during preseason and camp with the Rangers? I mean, did he look consistently good?
Ranger fans said all the same things you just said. What talent?
Okay.
What raw talent? How great is this guy? What was Columbus thinking? What were they thinking letting this guy go? And then all of a sudden, 2 months later, what the hell's up with this guy? What's up with this?
Well,
this guy's terrible.
To be fair with Nicky Jaridev, under Rennie, he played pretty well. I mean, he's a safe cadet defensively, and he's going to – but, you know, he will put the puck in the net. I mean, you know, he can do that. Come playoff time, whether that matters, I think so. He fell out of favor with Tortorella. Tortorella basically said, you know, you're out of here. So then he went to the KHL. So, what we're talking about, you mentioned Claude Giroux. Travis, why don't you tell the, we have a Ranger fan contingent. Could you tell Claude Giroux what kind of player he is? And because, I know a lot about him. I know what he's a tremendous hockey player.
And yeah, he hasn't really hit his potential yet either. I mean, he looked great in his first season. You know, he played 2 years ago. He played about 40 games, and we really got a taste of what he can do. But last season, he kind of dropped off a little bit, and it didn't help that he was playing with James Van Riemsdyk, who's going to be a great player in the NHL. But he played about 60 more games than he'd ever played in his life in a season last year, and you could tell he was worn out. And their other line made for most of the season was Aaron Asham, who, you know, the guy's got hands for you know, a tough guy, but he's still a tough guy. He's still a, you know, he's a goon. He's got a little talent, but, you know, for the most part, he's a goon. So, Giroux is a guy that needs line mates that can put the puck in the net. And, you know, he's the kind of guy that he can take three defenders on and draw three defenders towards him and then make a beautiful behind-the-back, you know, highlight reel pass to a guy wide open who can just tap it in. And he does that, you know, a couple times a game, whether or not, you know, obviously he's not scoring goals like that every game, but, you know, he's the kind of guy that never ceases to not surprise you. It's always like, it looks like he always has more moves up his sleeve, and he's just going to keep getting better.
Now, I got to ask, Frank, do you think Travis was calling Asham a goon? Do you think he'd call him that if he wasn't with the Penguins? Do you think if he was still with the Flyers, he'd be calling him a goon?
I think it's just a term of affection at this point. I mean, the guy, he is a goon, but he's also got some hands on him, so, I mean, I'll take it.
I think Travis was just saying that because he's with the Penguins now.
No, I like Aaron Asham. Seeing Asham in a Penguins jersey makes me sick to my stomach. I'll admit that.
Hey, Eddie, you know, as Ranger fans, we always expect the worst. And can't you just picture the Eastern Conference, the eighth seed, coming down to the Rangers and Flyers again, and Zhirinov scoring the shootout goal?
No, that's going to be Derek Stepan who will score the shootout goal. But I wanted to get Travis's last year when Gaborik got beat up by, Carcillo, and no Rangers jumped in. What was your feeling from a Flyers fan perspective on that? I mean, most of us were like, you got to be kidding me. Now, did you think that Gaborik started that whole mess, or what was your take on it, just quickly?
You know, I'm kind of cloudy on it, to be honest with you, but I do think that Marion Gaborik did ask for it. You know, he got himself tied up with Carcillo on that play. And when that happens, I mean, I think Carcillo is right to, you know, Gaborik knows what he's getting into. And Carcillo.
Wait a minute.
Carcillo sees the opportunity to take a guy like Marion Gaborik off the ice for 5 minutes. And I would take that opportunity every time. And that trade off, Carcillo for Gaborik off the ice for 5 minutes, I would take that any day of the week.
All right, Travis.
All right, now on this, on that subject, Travis, you also you had a few things to say about one of our favorite topics, the New York Rangers public relations staff, way back when.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what that was about, but I know they completely misconstrued the situation after the game. They said that Carcillo was jumped by Gaborik, or Gaborik was jumped by Carcillo, and whole thing there.
That's the New York Rangers PR calling, by the way.
Yeah, Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, I think you guys can even agree that, you know, I don't think Carcillo jumped Gaverick by any stretch of the imagination.
I don't want to talk about it. It's a new year. I extend the hand.
You brought it up.
Oh, I forget about that. All right, I now put the hand of friendship away because I instigated too much.
Well, I just here's what Travis had to say. In the second period of Thursday's game, Daniel Carcillo and Marion Gaborik got in a fight. The Rangers' official Twitter feed said that Carcillo jumped Gaborik despite irrefutable visual evidence to the contrary. In fact, the image shows that Gaborik was the one who initially antagonized Carcillo, and the video shows him dropping the gloves first. All neutral media outlets also say that's the case. The Rangers' official team staff member committed a bold-faced lie. Now,
hey,
I can't believe that anyone would ever accuse our beloved New York Rangers public relations staff of committing a bold-faced lie. I'm up in arms over this, Eddie. I really am.
I am too. They disrespected us, the Seahawks. You're talking about watching that fight through flyer colored glasses. What are you, Gene Hart or over there? But anyway, hey, listen, when we moved on, we got.
We're
some,
over it.
Well,
can't you tell?
No, you're so over it. Yeah.
Dan Marty should have been in there like you wouldn't believe, but he never did. That's why I harbor ill feelings towards Dan Girardi. Should have jumped in there. All right, enough. I want to talk to this Devils guy.
All right.
John, well,
you know the score. I'm not going to sit here and react to the pass with you, Eddie. Not you, not the mouth. No, sir.
Well, John, let me ask you a question. Do you think the Devils are putting their eggs in all one basket, so to say, with this Klobuchar and Parisi line? Or would you like to see it more spread out? What's your take on that?
I actually think it's pretty spread out, considering the second line features Patrick Elias, the franchise's leading scorer, Jason Arnott, who, when healthy, is a very good offensive player, both in advanced statistics and general counting stuff. And you have Jamie Langenbrunner, who, despite being in his mid-30s, can still put up 50 to 60 points. From what I've seen, that's a pretty good second line.
That would be our first. That'd be our first. No, that was Gaborik. But a Tortorella would put them on the fourth line, though.
Oh yeah, you gotta make sure. Langenbrunner's got character. You gotta put him on that fourth line with grit and energy.
Well, you gotta have. Wait,
he's never scared.
Yeah, but you're not leaving any room for Erik Christensen.
Oh, of course not. Christensen is a wall.
He's literally at the first line center there.
Oh,
apparently, Frank.
Apparently,
he
was a nice launch in 2003.
I mean, you may want to start retiring that number now. I mean, no one is ever going to be as good as Erik Christensen ever again.
Well, as soon as the jersey sales die down and they need a bump, they'll retire that number.
He was like, you know what? He was like a seventh line center on the Penguins, and he's a first line center on the Rangers. That's what I find amazing.
Well.
Fedotenko, who was, he's a cast-off, and all of a sudden he's our best quality player in the locker room and leading the team in scoring in preseason.
That's the important part. You got to make sure you say in preseason, because once the regular season starts, he just loses it.
Ah, so that's your take on Fedotenko? He's got nothing in the tanko?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I watched it last year. He had nothing. The year before, he did great. I mean, he led the team in goals in the playoffs, and, he definitely had a strong part in the Stanley Cup run, but then you get him on the team last year, and granted, he took a discount to come back to Pittsburgh, but, I mean, it probably would have been better served just having open cash to go for someone else last year.
And you know what's funny, Frank, is that I went back and listened to the show that we did last year. I was listening to it last night, actually, and you were and rightly so, because we would have too. You were absolutely praising the fact that Fedotenko took less money to re-sign with the Penguins. You were thrilled about it. But now,
that's definitely cool. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you got a guy who he just came off the Stanley Cup, I think he had 7 goals and 7 assists in the Stanley Cup run. So, I mean, why would you say no to something like that? No one could have really predicted that he'd fall as flat as he did by the end of the year. I mean, that was just kind of the unfortunate side effect of it. When all was said and done, hindsight 2020, you don't take Fedotenko again, even if he takes a discount. So congratulations is what I'm saying.
Unless you're the New York Rangers.
It was funny.
It was funny. One of the preseason games, the Fedotenko scored a goal for the Rangers, and I was writing up the recap, and I was talking to somebody about Valentenko, the Rangers defenseman, and I had him on the brain, and I accidentally typed Fedotenko in my recap, right? And I didn't realize it. I totally missed it. And I posted it, and I get an email from a Penguins fan, one of your readers, and the guy says, this is what the email says. You spelled Fedotenko wrong. It's Fedotenko, not Fedotenko, and you can have him. He's a bum.
Good. There you go. There's pretty much one guy.
Now, Frank, I got to talk to you because, listen, I am kind of the conduit between the fans in this chat room, and they're asking me questions to ask you, and I mean this. And no, I hope you don't take any severe umbrage, to use a big college word. But how do you deal with a world-class player like Sidney Crosby, who basically is a crybaby? How do you deal with that?
Oh, no. Give me a break, dude. Nah, come on. You got to at least have a little more intelligence if you're going to host a radio show.
Yeah, really. What?
I said you got to at least have a little more intelligence if you're going to host a radio show. You can't go calling him a crybaby. That's a Philly thing to do.
Are you insulting my audience? Because
that was unnecessary, sir.
No.
Actually, you don't need any intelligence to do this. Just $39 a month.
Yeah.
No, I'm not insulting your audience. I'm just insulting you.
How dare you?
I know.
It's a Philly. I like the fact that he said it's a Philly thing to do.
Yeah, I'll bring everybody into it. I don't care at this point. Let's just open up all the floodgates here.
Frank needs a little more intelligence than to bring up the Philly fan thing, but whatever.
Frank, to be perfectly honest with you, and you can go look this up on Blue Shirt Banner. Somebody said to me today when I told them you were going to be on the show, their question: can you ask Frank why Crosby is such a crybaby? And I'm like, no, he's heard it before.
At this point, it's just you get exhausted from hearing it. I mean,
I know. It's like people saying to me, they need to fire Sather. Yeah, I know. But if he was on any other team, wouldn't you say this guy deserves to be in diapers?
Can I talk?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, just making sure. To be completely honest, anytime he does that, throw his head in the air, put his hands in the air kind of thing, I'm always yelling at the TV, like, just go back to the bench. That's all I'm yelling is go back to the bench. I'm tired of seeing it, and I'll admit, it doesn't happen as much as it used to. He's definitely toned it down. I guess many people would say that that's him maturing, but ultimately, it doesn't happen as much. When it does, I'm the first one to say something, and I can see why people would perceive it as still being a crybaby, but you know what? That thing's going to wear away eventually, and, like you said, I'm tired of hearing it. Kind of like how Maple Leafs fans are tired of hearing 1967, you guys are tired of hearing 1994. It's just one of those things that just keep going on and on.
Right.
That's a good answer.
You answered it like a gentleman. You did not come at me correctly. But in the end, you've shown that you are a gentleman. Thank you so much.
All right. We'll have an awkward pause here while we move on. I'm going to ask an Islanders question to Dominic that I stole from Lighthouse Hockey because I wanted to hear Dominic's opinion on it. I saw one of your readers posted on there. How important is Kyle Okposo?
Oh yeah.
And it seemed to generate quite a controversy. There was a lot of back and forth on it, and I wanted to get your opinion.
That was an interesting thread because I think the guy's point was, he's not as big of a loss as Mark Streit, which I think is actually a fair assessment because your number one D on this blue line is more important than a forward who's still coming into his own. But he's one of those guys that serves a lot of different roles, so you can't replace him with one player. Well, I mean, you can't replace him talent-wise, but then you've got everybody has to move up a little bit on the penalty kill, on the power play. He draws a lot of the tough minute assignments. So it's just one of those things that has a ripple effect through the whole lineup. And he had, you know, he had a pretty big minus last year, but a lot of that, I mean, in his plus minus, but a lot of that, when you look into it, seemed to be a lot of bad luck for him based on who he was playing with. And actually, he was, somebody found out, the biggest victim of Marty Biron's worst games because he was on the ice for a lot of the bad goals that Biron gave up. So it's more what we hoped he would be this year, keep improving, you know, put up more points, more goals, and be an even better PK guy. So, in other words, he's their best right wing, and he's gone for 4 months. It's a pretty big loss.
Especially against the Rangers and Devils, that's when he seems to be at his best.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it seems like he's always scoring against the Rangers.
Yes. And I would echo, though, by the way, everyone else, that you can have Fedotenko.
Thanks.
No, I actually, you know, Fedotenko's done that throughout his career. He starts well for a team and then tapers off. So I imagine you guys are going to get a really nice season out of him. But then if you re-sign him next year.
All right, Dominic, I'm going to face the gauntlet here. Obviously, I'm one of the biggest Islander detractors in the world. But I'm going to be nice. And I'm going to be, I'm going to put my best blog talk radio earmuffs on and be, doesn't it bother you that Wang started with this whole preseason in China nonsense? And basically, the result is two injuries that are going to debilitate the whole season. I mean, playing in these rinky-dink rinks, where before any preseason games got underway, and the split squads during preseason, doesn't it just frustrate you as an Islander fan that this organization, and listen, the Rangers organization stinks too, but somehow they outstink the Rangers organization. How does that feel when you're trying to build some pride and try to get some, you know, respectability out there?
I'll say this. I like Garth Snow. I like what he's doing. When Charles Wong gets involved with things that affect the hockey department, I don't like that. Fortunately, the China thing never happened. I thought it was a really bad idea that would have been anybody who's ever flown to Asia knows what kind of effect on your body that has, and to try to cram that in before, you know, for one half of training camp and then do the regular split squad deal, that would just be awful. So they actually, that trip was canceled. They didn't do it. So they had these split squad games, which were, you know, silly, but really the preseason is filled with de facto split squad games anyway. So that one didn't bother me as much as the whole idea of them going to China. And, I mean, the injuries had nothing to do with anything. They were just flukes, basically, so.
I don't know. I got word from some sources that perhaps that the rinks that they were playing in weren't up to snuff. But hey, that may have just been the way it shook out. Now,
well,
you have
they did training camp at the Coliseum, so that's not a great rink, but it is of NHL quality.
The Motor Lodge, as your GM called it.
Yeah.
You see, when your GM calls it a Motor Lodge, like, I don't know how I would react, because in Rangerville, it's the exact thing. We always thought the world's famous arena. Yeah. I call it the world's most boring arena because the Rangers never score. And, like, we're always pumping up what we got. Meanwhile, we got nothing. And you have, like, such detriment. Like, Wang comes out, Wong, whatever you want to call him, 2 or 3 years ago and says, I wouldn't have bought this team 2 years ago if I knew how it was going to end up. And now you have your GM calling it a Motor Lodge. It's got to be disheartening to be an Islander fan.
I mean, yeah, that setting definitely sucks. But, you know, really, you could trace a lot of that back to the Leafs that
launches the team. You are like the nicest
Islander
fan. I can't even get on it. Jimmy, you were right.
I told you Dominic was not like he was not like other Islander fans. He's very calm. He's very, you know, he's got a good sense of humor about it. You're not like some of the other Islander fans we encounter.
I'm not easily wound up.
I got all butt hurt when I started talking about Sydney.
No, but I mean, even you know, the Motor Lodge and the Wong thing. I wish I'd hadn't bought the team. That you know, that was a political thing going on with the Hempstead. Everything that has screwed this team ultimately goes back to the awful lease that has haunted them for the past 30 years. That's allowed for you know owners that were crooks, owners that didn't know what they were doing. Allowed for all this crap. So,
what about the cupcakes? You got official cupcakes this year.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that. Every team needs an official cupcake.
Ours is Michael Roosevelt.
There you go.
All right. Let me ask John a question. John, I gotta say,
I'm impressed that you haven't given me the gauntlet yet. You're just sort of like, you know, picking your spots here and there. So I look forward to this question that you've been building up while you've been hearing about Eddie going on about the Islanders being terrible and Ruslan Fedotenko being miserable and all this.
It's good cop bad cop, John. This is the way this is how we roll.
Okay.
Well, my question is having Johan Hedberg as the backup, is that the key? As far as keeping Brodeur fresher, is that going to be the key for the Devils to get out of this first-round jinx they seem to be in the last few years? And that's not a knock because, believe me, you know, sometimes we'd be happy just to get to the first round. But from a Devils perspective, do you think that's going to be the key, is having a guy that can step in and play pretty well? Not to mention a guy that tends to kill the Rangers sometimes.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a quality backup. It's kind of awkward since the Devils decided to pay him 3 times the minimum salary and give him a no-trade clause on a 1-year deal, as if, you know, his job was ever in doubt. I got to say, the problems with the Devils in the playoffs really don't have anything to do with goaltending, per se. So it's not as if, you know, Brodeur, you know, he was out for a couple months due to an injury. I mean, he was the most well-rested he could possibly be. He comes back, you know, from injury. He plays pretty well. And, you know, they still lost in the first round to Carolina for a variety of reasons that are just a little bit more complex than just, you know, Marty played too many games. So, I mean, I don't think Hedberg, per se, is the key. Some of it, you know, is uncontrollable. I mean, the Devils' shooting percentage dropped like an anvil from the sky. Last year, in 2007, the whole team sort of was asleep against the Rangers. In 2008, you know, the team in game one had the nice, you know, dug in real deep into Carolina and decided it with each successive game to pull it out more and more and then realize, oh, wait a minute, we have an angry bear about to gnaw us out, and a bad break happened in 2008. So I don't think Hedberg's really going to fix that, but I don't think that's why he was signed.
Okay. And were you happy with John McClain coming on as the head coach? Did you think it was a good were you happy with that move?
At the time, I was sort of in the middle because he was basically McClain. He's still new to the head coaching thing. This is his second year in the professional game being a head coach. But for, I believe, 6 seasons prior to that, he was an assistant coach. When Lou Lamoriello was the interim head coach, John McClain had a lot of the responsibilities. So he's definitely, you know, he's basically a company man. You know, he essentially got promoted. And at the time, I interpreted it as, okay, the Devils aren't going to go with a major change per se. They're not going to, you know, radically change their playing style. They're not going to radically do brand new things. But at the same time, you know, there's continuity. Most of the veterans on the team already know who he is. He did a very good job in Lowell last year, and he's very familiar with all the prospects. And at the same time, he's not going to, maybe the Devils don't need to radically change their plans, but just a couple tweaks here and there and make it happen. But can I say, was I doing backflips when he was signed? No. Would I say I was miserable, throwing up in the gutter? Not at all. Just in the middle somewhere.
Okay. We're going to bounce back to you, Frank.
What, I don't get to cross-examine him?
Yeah.
You want to cross-examine, John?
Well, I want to know what's going on with Kovalchuk and Avery. What does he think? He's a... He's agitated now, Kovalchuk. He thinks he's going to be out agitate Avery, a stellar player who is the consummate pro on the ice.
Speaking of throwing up
What's
in the gutter.
And I'm going to tell you something. Well, I have to because I'm on the air, but you can hear it anyway. John, I can tell you one thing. David Coffin wants to kill Sean Avery. I can tell you
dude.
That. What about a? I mean,
I don't know. I mean, he seems like a pretty chill dude.
But listen, what I noticed that LeBlondie over there, he wants no part of Bugar. And I got to tell you, for all you guys in this Atlantic Division here, the boogeyman is on the watch. And you're not going to see any Carcillo beating up Gabrick. And if he does, somebody's going to pay the pipe, but the boogeyman is here.
Yeah, I'm $5 million for, what, 3 minutes a game?
That was
to go out there and look mean.
Absolute carnage.
Yeah, like Andrew Peters, right? Like Andrew Peters, right? Absolute carnage. Everything's decimated. Forget the nuclear bomb.
Is Bugar's definition of carnage to is Bugar's definition of carnage to hit Chris Neal in the balls? Because he did that the other night. That was pretty manly of him.
Yeah, and did you notice that? That was after Mark Stahl was taken. That we took liberties with Stahl. He gets him right
in the balls. That's real.
And then what if you run that film, my friend, Matt Kaufman's right there. What does Matt Kaufman do? He turns away. He doesn't even help his teammate because he knows the boogeyman will beat his banana in. That's how it works in Rangerville nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
That's a left wing promoter.
Well, I got to ask this. Is Bugar's acting skills as good as, say, Daniel Carcillo's?
I'm sorry?
Or is Bugar's
Daniel Carcillo's just that face for radio.
Oh, okay. My mistake.
All right.
That clears up everything. So do I get to answer your question,
though? I didn't hear the Carcillo dig, so I can't defend it. But not that I would, because I don't really want to defend Dan Carcillo, but whatever.
And one thing else about the Devils I wanted to say, how about this Karenti kid? Is he going to step up? I know last year he missed the majority of the season. What do you feel about him?
Well, truth be told, I thought he was this year's Nicholas Bjorkqvist in the sense of if he's not going to make the team now, you know, when is he? You know, he's 23. He got a decent-looking camp. Lou Lamoriello praised, you know, had to send him down to Albany. He didn't make the final cut, but he did say that he was being sent down more of as a numbers game. They want to use Karenti on defense. He was drafted as a defense. He's played in juniors and in the AHL as a defenseman. So I'm assuming that once a permanent cap-clearing move is made, he may get to see the ice in New Jersey soon. But again, it's like I just said. If this was supposedly his best camp and that's not good enough, you know, at 24, you know, if Erbom is a success, if these other guys develop, I'm not as confident in his future. So basically, if he doesn't make it now, I'm not holding my breath anymore.
Because I know you guys were high on him.
Yeah, he was a first round pick. You know, I liked him.
Yeah,
I thought he's got a potential. He's a good physical defenseman if you like 6 foot guys being physical.
All right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done, Jim.
All right. Let me ask Frank. Frank, what's your biggest concern for the Penguins heading into the season?
I think last season it was the same concern. It was defense, and I think defense is another concern this year. And I know that they picked up some guys off the market and all, but I'm kind of curious to see how quickly it all comes together, if it comes together, what the pairings are going to look like, who plays with who, who's on the power play. There's a lot of things, you know. It's a fresh, new-looking defense, and I guess, you know, it's an upgrade or you got to just wait for it to pan out. So I think that's really the area of concern right now. More a matter of, like, just trying to remain patient than really just have a general concern for it not to work.
Okay.
Frank, if I could jump in here, I know that Alex Goligoski is not going to be on the top of the list from what I've read. He's not going to be in the top four, in the top two pairings, and I really thought that he'd be the guy on the power play that's really going to take Gonchar's place and really step up this year. What's kept him from being in the top four defense?
Well, you know what? Rightfully so. He shouldn't be on the top unit right now. He shouldn't probably be on the second unit. He had a rough year last year. He didn't play up to potential, I guess you could say, but it's hard to even say what that potential was because it was really his first full season in the year, his first full year in the league. And, there comes that level of expectancy that isn't necessarily always, what he, is going to do. It's what people build him up to do. And I think that a lot of people just kind of had it in their mind that he was going to come in and be that guy. And he wasn't. And I don't think it should have surprised many people because he's still trying to get his legs in the league. But I guess you could say he also let a lot of people down. So in that sense, I think he's going to come along a little bit better this year, kind of like how we saw Chris Letang come along a little bit last year. And, this might be the year where Letang becomes a QB of the power play and Goligoski starts coming around more as a puck-moving guy. Who knows? He had a lot of tough breaks last year. I think he hit the post. There was one point where he hit the post like 3-4 times in a row. It was ridiculous. So, I'm saying in consecutive games. Like, he was just looking for that one goal to crack the bad streak, and he just couldn't do it. So, it's going to be interesting to see him come along this year. But, he did put up 37 points last year. It wasn't horrendous. That was actually more points than Chris Letang. So, he just started out hot and then really, really cooled off at the end.
Is Malkin healthy, ready to go?
Malkin, yeah, I saw no indication that anything's up with Malkin. Actually, he had a crazy game in the preseason. I think he had one goal and four assists in the final preseason game or something like that. So I'd say he's good to go and there aren't any issues. They're actually potentially working him into the top of the power play unit. Like, they were playing with him from the point the other day, trying to use him there. So that'll be interesting to see if maybe they go with a four forward, one defenseman power play unit.
Wow, that'd be pretty deadly. All right, what else we? Let's see. All right, John, what's your biggest concern for the Devils?
Well, the biggest concern that I have for the Devils right now is if somebody gets injured, and it's a minor injury, because it'll put the Devils in the very difficult spot of figuring what they're going to do cap wise. The Devils have 20 players, which is the minimum you can have on an active roster. So if somebody, say, gets sick, they're day-to-day because they took a nasty hit in a game, they need a rest for whatever reason, the Devils are going to have to do some weird cap magic, to make something happen with respect to call-ups. If it's a veteran, they're going to really have to decide whether or not they're going to say, you sit out, we're just going to play a short roster, start the game already with a shortened bench, which is not exactly ideal, something I'm sure you're very familiar with, or put the guy on LTIR and say, we'll see you in 10 games in 24 days, when it could just, he could be had much sooner. I mean, that's ultimately, the quote-unquote nightmare scenario.
Okay.
For right now. Do you want me to elaborate on, for the season in general, or, I wasn't sure if you wanted
just
to know
what you needed. What your main concern was heading into the season, injuries. And
right.
Pretty much.
Yeah, injuries for right now, long-term, it's offense from the blue line. The Devils have exactly one offensive defenseman, and his name is Andy Green. He had an amazing year last season, and generally when you have an amazing year, your second year probably isn't going to be as amazing. And the offense from the defense last year suffered because they didn't have Paul Martin, who was the best defenseman on the free agent market, so congratulations to Frank and his Penguins for signing the best defenseman available on the USA market. I would applaud that. I'm holding a phone here. And at the same time, that defense, the Devils defense just didn't contribute a lot of points, and they went out and signed more defensive defensemen. So they didn't really address that need at all. Relying on a 19-year-old Alexander Urbom or if he ever comes back, the 22-year-old Matt Termina from the minors is asking a whole lot here. So it's basically the forwards are going to have to carry the offensive load again. And who knows? It could essentially hold back the overall attack. So overall, the whole season, that's my main concern. But for right now, it's the injuries.
Okay.
All right. Let me. I'm going to ask each of you a question. Actually, I'm going to ask all of you questions collectively. And this is, I want to get the viewpoints of, the followers of other teams. I guess I'll start with Frank because he probably doesn't have the most visceral opinion of one Sean Avery. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much does Sean Avery bother the Pittsburgh fan or yourself? Is he a guy you want to see get, you know, his head punched in? Or is he just kind of like a non-factor?
Well, I think if you just look at his profile picture on NHL.com, he just has a face you want to punch. Like, even I want to punch him, and it's just because of that look he's got.
Is it the metrosexual picture with the glasses?
Yeah, that'd be the one, yeah.
Yeah.
But I can honestly say for the most part, I don't think that Penguins fans really see him as a threat. He's never really been all that effective against them. I don't think that they're concerned about him cheap-shotting anybody because he won't fight. So I don't, I'm not, I think they would just look at him as somebody else, just another guy out there on the ice. That's all he really is anyway.
And I guess my second question, which has nothing to do with Sean Avery, I'll get to the other guys with Sean Avery. A lot of people felt Marc-Andre Fleury didn't have a really stellar season. Was that the feeling last year, and then looking for him to step up this year?
I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, if you won something, if you finished first place, where are you expected to do it the next time you do it? You know, that's kind of the problem. And he made some ridiculous saves in the playoffs when they won the cup in 09-10. I'm sorry, in 08-09. He made some ridiculous saves in the playoffs that were very much like completely out of character from what he did during the regular season. So in a way, he kind of built up this, I almost want to say, like legendary status in the postseason. Then the regular season kicks off last year, and he lets in a few soft goals. That's all right. But he never really kind of looked like he had his composure about him. I almost want to say, you know, that the level of expectancy was just at a playoff level when he was in regular season mode. That's probably the best way to describe it. And I guess you could say he struggled a little bit, sure. I mean, he didn't have his best year. But a lot of people are saying that, you know, he just kind of needed to get his head right. It's just a goaltender thing, I guess, from what a lot of people say.
Okay. Now, John, let's get down to the Sean Avery question. I was there live at the Pebble, saw that whole thing transpire between Kovalchuk, Clarkson, and Avery. How much do Devil fans hate Sean Avery?
Well, let's take a step back here. He's a Ranger, so for most Devil fans, if not the players themselves, it's already a baseline at 7 on a scale of 1 to 10, and Avery probably makes it 12. But me personally, I'm gonna shock you, so I hope you're sitting down for this. He would get a 2.
Okay.
He just makes my eye roll, because guess what? I mean, Hockey Perspective 2010-11 puts it perfectly. For all the jaw-jacking, for all the antics, for all the talk, for all the glasses, the purses, all this, that, and the other thing, he's not really a good hockey player, and he doesn't really help make the Rangers a better hockey team. So, honestly,
okay,
it would be like if I got upset over, you know, Eric Christensen.
If you look at the stats with Avery in the lineup, I think they would disagree with you. But, John Fisher, let me ask you this. And I'm going to ask you this once I remember it. Yeah, okay. What I wanted to ask you was, you said everybody got a baseline at number 7, but you know what? You must have loved to see one Ranger out there in Wade Redmond, and he is no longer on the team. I have actually seen, Devil fans want Wade Redmond out there. So are you a little sad to see Wade go?
I am. I think he got a raw deal. I think he got hosed. And Bedore, the Rangers can make this right because I know a guy who can help
him
fill him in. No. He's not a defenseman.
You can have him if you want to make it right.
He can play on your first line. His name is Ryan Ralston. He actually makes less money than Wade Redden. He can contribute more than Wade Redden. If you can get a unicorn and some rainbows to happen, talk to Lou. He'll make it happen. The Rangers can gladly have Ryan Ralston.
You know, Eddie, 2 years in a row we've done this show, and 2 years in a row I've offered Wade Redden to one of our Atlantic Division counterparts, and nobody wants him. Last year I offered him to Dominic. Dominic didn't want him either.
I don't know. I'm answering questions. People say, who is this guy? When John Fisher talks, people listen. It's John Fisher, Jackie, and he is a proud member of In Lou We Trust, one of the greatest Devil blogs ever created. Now, Travis Hughes, Broad Street. What is this? Broad Street
Hockey.
What the heck is the name?
Broad Street Hockey.
Oh, yeah. Couldn't read my own handwriting there. Travis, let me say something to you, Travis. How much do the Flyer fans hate Sean Avery?
I don't hate him at all. I think he's entertaining. And I mean, quite honestly, I don't really think the Rangers are much of a threat, so why should I really care about them, honestly?
Oh!
I mean, in all seriousness, I don't. I just don't.
Travis, why
it doesn't bother me what they do.
They went to a shootout last year, and the Rangers had the crappiest team I've seen in years. So what's
the
name?
The Flyers was in the finals, so I mean...
I'm only kidding. Go ahead, Travis.
Yeah, I mean, and then the Flyers went to the finals. I mean, you know, the regular season was a mess last year for the Flyers, that's no doubt. But I don't know.
He doesn't really bother you. How about Sabin? He seems to get into the Flyers business with Mike Richards a lot. Is he a guy maybe you don't like so much?
I'm sorry?
I was on Brandon Dubinsky. He seems to get into a lot of business with Mike Richards and seems to go at it. Is he a guy that gets under your skin? Or are you just like the Teflon Don over there? Nobody bothers you. It's all sunshine and rainbows.
When it comes to the Rangers, honest to God, nobody bothers me. I could realize guys on any of the other teams in the on the Devils and the Penguins that bother me. But honestly, the Rangers really don't bother me. I hate the team, and I hate New York in general, but the Rangers don't bother me.
Okay.
Because we're no threat. He said we're no threat to them.
We're no threat? Okay, we'll see that.
We will see. We will indeed see.
Who's Soul over there? Who you got? Doug Pavel? Who's playing over there? Michael Layton there? Yeah, come on. All right. Anyway, let's move on to. I never saw Travis. He hates New York. I love it. All right.
He's a Philly guy. Of course he hates New York.
What?
He's a Philly guy. Of course he hates New York. And he's still basking in the afterglow of Roy Halladay's no-hitter tonight.
Yeah, you're damn right.
Baseball. Come on. All right. Dominic Chance, New York Islanders, Blogger, White House. I feel like I'm doing the report. Anyway, how about the Islander fan? I mean, the Islander fan. I can't say fans. The Islander fan take on Sean Avery.
You know, I'm actually surprised it's not stronger. You'd think they would hate him more, but I only run across a few that really care about him. I think. Personally, he doesn't offend me as an Islanders fan. He kind of offends me as a hockey fan because he's just, you know, to have enough talent to make the NHL. But, like, the best thing I love about the whole Sean Avery mythology is that he has to be his diving, whining, cheap shot-throwing dirtbag Sean Avery in order to be good. Or I think Larry Brooks always throws out that line that, oh, he needs to be, you know, his game. If they restrain him, if they don't let him be a tool and generally an embarrassment to NHL players, then he's not effective. And it's just, you know, if you can't play hockey, if you have to do all this, like, you know, the stuff he did with Brodeur and the whining. He used to be, you know, one of the league's biggest divers. If you have to do crap like that in order to be on your game, you're kind of a waste of talent to me. But I felt that way about him when he was with Detroit and when he was with L.A., so really to see him as a Ranger, it's kind of just, you know, it's fitting to me, but it didn't really change my view of him.
Okay. There you go. All right, I can accept that opinion. And I think I'm done with these gentlemen, and I think they're done with me.
All right, well, before we let
you... I mean all this stuff is good fun. I'm not doing any backpedaling here, but, you know, I'm just joking around. I don't really, I don't want me to offend anybody.
No worries. Just
now I'm gonna take, because, you know, I'm going to take it in the chat room now for apologizing to you guys for kind of prefacing my comments. But that's the way it works. It rolls. I'm a professional and a goddamn good human being. So let's move on.
I have one more question for Dominic, and then we'll do everybody's Atlantic Division predictions, and we'll wrap it up. But, Dominic, Scott Gordon's going into the last year of his contract, and the Islanders are going to make him at least It sounds like they're going to make him coach out the last year. Is that going to be a distraction to the team at all?
I think since very little media actually covers the team, and it's usually the media that makes it a distraction, it shouldn't be that big of a deal. We were talking about Charles Wong earlier. That's another thing of his. He always lets his coaches go through their final year of their contract before extending them. And, you know, coach contracts are so cheap that I don't know why you wouldn't at least do the thing that is kind of industry standard and extend them by a year if you're happy with them. But I don't expect it to be too much of a deal unless, you know, maybe if things are going absolutely miserable and players who are expected to be better don't live up to their expectations, you know, maybe that'll be a story. But sadly, it's standing operating procedure.
Let me ask you this. Are you happy with – do you like Scott Gordon as coach of the Islanders?
I do so far. I mean, I think he was the right pick. Snow wanted somebody he got along with, somebody he shared a vision with, who he didn't want to worry about, you know, is this the right guy? Do I need to fire him when the team does poorly? So I like – I mean, even the 30th place season, I like Gordon's style. That, you know, I have to say for a last place team, it was an entertaining team because they at least pushed the play rather than, you know, tried to do the old trap thing. So far I'm happy. You know, history says – by the time they get really good, he might not be the one just because, you know, coaches seem to have expiration dates. But so far, so good.
Okay. And so we'll go to you first. Let's give us your Atlantic Division predictions.
Man. I haven't thought about it too much, but I'll say, if I had to bet, so Pittsburgh first, Philly second, New Jersey third. And since I'm on a Rangers show, I have to say the Islanders fourth and the Rangers last.
Come on, give him credit for coming on. Hey, we had 50%. I put a poll on Blue Shirt Banner today. Who's going to finish first in the Atlantic Division? If 50% of the people, the Rangers. Come on.
I was one of the four who voted for the Isles, by the way.
I want a big fat Ziploc bag of what those Ranger fans are smoking. I'll give you my address. The poll option was the Rangers because I'm an optimist, and then the last option was the Islanders because I'm on medication. Dominic, I give you credit for coming out here and saying that. Good for you. Don't back down. All right, Frank, give us your Atlantic Division predictions.
In order of finish or what? What do you want to know?
Yeah, order of finish.
Seriously. Go ahead. I'm sorry, I'm ranting.
Yeah, you are. Okay, Penguins first. That's it.
The rest is unimportant.
Exactly.
All right. Well, John, how about you?
Well, I got to say, you know, last year the Devils finished first in the division because I had 2 points ahead of Pittsburgh thanks to the Devils sweeping the Pittsburgh 6 out of 6 games. Unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen again for a second straight season. So I will say Pittsburgh wins the division with 103 points. The Devils come in second with 101. And on the final day of the season, the Rangers barely make the playoffs in a shootout to get ahead of the Flyers. So the Rangers will finish fourth, and the Islanders will finish fifth, but they will not be in the running for the number one overall pick. The Atlantic Division is one of the strongest in hockey, one of the meanest, one that has actual rivalries. Atlantic Division forever.
John, you are a clear-thinking individual, and I appreciate your honesty.
We lost Travis. His phone died. He sent me a real quick text message. But I'm sure if he was here, he would pick the Rangers to finish first in the division. Islanders second, Devils third, and Penguins fourth, and Flyers fifth. I'm sure that would be his picks. But, guys, I really appreciate you coming on with us tonight. Best of luck during the season, except against us. And
We won't need luck.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks again, guys. I really appreciate it.
Take care.
Later.
Take it easy, guys.
Have a good night.
Good night. All right, let me just clear the switchboard. That was Frank and John and Dominic and Travis, the rest of the SB Nation Atlantic Division. And you and Frank, I don't see you guys getting together for Hanukkah, that's for sure.
Frank, he goes, should I give them an order? No, go by gold four. I mean, well, seriously, I mean, you know. I mean, he's in Pittsburgh, and I probably, been. I don't want to speak because he's not here to defend himself, but he probably doesn't know any other teams in the division. I mean, if you're Pittsburgh, you probably don't need to. Usually it's
well,
devils and them.
Well, the NHL acts like there are no other teams in the division, right?
Right, exactly.
Look, we are very appreciative that they came here despite the chat room, their acceptance to the chat room. Bunch of nuts in there waiting.
They didn't think they were going to get roasted a little bit. I mean, I think I was very, very nice. I mean, I listen anyway. Frank got a little rough. Well,
Ruffles
said a little bit. Sidney Crosby, you must get sick of hearing that, though.
I'm sure he does. He made a great point, just like we got sick of hearing 1940 and everything else. I get sick of hearing about Sean Avery, too.
This just in, John Newman, pussy whip. All right.
That's just in? That's breaking news?
Yeah. That Jackie Lama just gave me some...
All right. We have really quick.
Before we get to the phone call.
Okay, go ahead.
Can we please play Stan Fischler's predictions? And I think Jackie Lamba is going to love the end of this prediction by our friend Stan the Man Fischler. Last year predicted Matt Gilroy to win the Calder and the Rangers to finish, what, fifth in the conference or third or something like that. Anyway, here stands the mini picks. Well, what is predictions for the Rangers and then the Blackhawks?
All right, let's go. Stan Fischler, you're on. Stan, are you there?
In fifth place, the Broadway Blue Shirts won't be singing Am I Blue next spring. Marion Gaborik, in the prime of his career, proven he can play a whole season and stay healthy. On top of that, I predict 30 goals from Brandon Dubinsky and the Rochester Rocket, Ryan Callahan. The secret weapon, Marty Biron. He's going to play at least 15 games, spelling off Henrik Lundqvist, so that Henny will be fresh for the playoffs. And the Rangers will make it. And I don't mean maybe either. And here's a negative surprise for you, a bonus, so to speak, because the Blackhawks won't make the playoffs. They've lost 9 plays. The guts of the team, both goaltenders from last season, no way. It's going to be the bad news, Blackhawks.
Yeah!
Oh, really? And it's funny. Kristen's talking about it in the background during this Hockey Night Live show.
Yeah.
I heard people screaming when I watched it on DVR. It turns out it's Kristen, who is Henrik is 10, is in a chat room. That was her. Screaming. That's funny. And Zach, too. You guys, you blue shirt bastards are just out of control.
When you guys are in those situations, you got to start screaming Blue Shirt Banner Radio.
Yeah. Don't scream Hockey Night Live.
Yeah, don't scream Stan.
Just in the mouth or just scream
Stan.
Or something.
No, just scream Blue Shirt Banner Radio.
Yeah.
Free publicity.
Fine, that's a killer.
Scream Baba Booey. Man, dog.
How can he pick this Blackhawks not to make the playoffs? They still got Kane and Tate.
Where that Jackie Lama's going to be upset.
Oh, yeah.
Just have to sell her shirts.
Who needs a goalie? Flyers make it to the playoffs. You don't think the Blackhawks will make it to the playoffs? All right, let's go to the phones, I guess, Jim. Is that what you were going to do before I interrupted?
Well, we have a phone call that's been on hold for, he's been on hold for about 45 minutes. I'm not sure who it is. I've got numerous IMs that this person's waiting on hold, and because we're not doing anything else, so I've just been sitting here clipping my toenails for 2 hours. So let's go to the phones. 917, you are on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Good evening. Who is this?
Hey, Jim?
Oh, it's Mel Gibson.
No, this is Wade Redden.
Wade! Good evening. Welcome to the program.
Thanks. Just finished a preseason game in Hartford. Oh, my God, those guys are fast. Who ever thought they would play at night? Never show up to these games.
How are you enjoying your stay in Hartford, Wade?
It's interesting. The first shift on the ice, and Kenny was just yelling at me. I don't get it. I mean, I always pass the puck up the center. It's not my fault my other partner defenseman wasn't there. Already 1-0 against us, and he benches me. I gotta take my breath. This is after first shift. What's going on with you? What's up with that? I hear great things about this show.
Wade?
Huh?
Wade, this bit's going about as well as your career on Broadway.
It's going great. I'm going to miss Broadway. I'm going to miss you guys.
You're being compared to drunken Dave Maloney.
Who, Dave? Oh, who's a better defenseman than him?
All right, well, Wade.
Let me just take a breather.
All right, Wade, you take a breather, and why don't you call us again some other time? Thanks, buddy.
Oh, come on. I love this show.
Well, good. Keep listening. Thanks, Wade. All right, that's enough of that. Somehow, I don't think the humor that Wade was trying to convey came over. So let's get Eddie back on the line. I think we lost him there. Eddie, did you hang up because you were laughing so hard at Wade?
What the hell was that?
To me, millions of comedians out of work, so they all call. Everybody's got to call this show.
The word fail keeps coming up in the chat room, so I can read this much.
Yeah, I have to. That was not pre-planned. I did not approve that bit before we put it on the air.
That bit wasn't approved.
We did not approve that message. All right. Do you want to do a fast roll call? How do you want to play it? We have 17 minutes to go. I will leave it up to you. You are in the driver's seat, my friend. I am just along for the ride.
Yeah, we might as well. Let's. And everybody,
right.
Man, not updating baseball. Nobody cares. I didn't even know the playoffs were going. All right, now. You want to play the intro? We'll just do it.
Just go for it.
Here we go. Welcome.
We'll do it live.
Do it live. We'll do it live. It's Bill O'Reilly. It's Wednesday, October 6th. We are approaching the beginning of the season. Three things I want to say before this we start. Make sure I say all three, too, Jim, because I forget. One, Friday night, 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. The Ranger before the season, Ranger party, roundup, whatever you want to call it. We're getting together on this air, and we're going to share our opinions of where the Rangers are going. I want people to be here Monday at the Nassau Coliseum. Me and about 11 other Ranger blue shirt bastards will be in the parking lot of the mausoleum. You will know us because we'll be loud. We will be drunk, and we will be burning Islander hats before the game. We've been there from 11 a.m. till game starts at 1 p.m. So if you guys see us down there, stop by, say hello. And the third thing, if I can remember, yes, November 26th at the Poynton Still in Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey.
I just want to say, I spoke to my dad, told him about it, and he is a definite maybe. I didn't think I'd get him there. But I told him about it. He's like, oh, that could be fun. Maybe we'll make the trip.
Yeah.
He says, the traffic's going to be terrible. They're going to be out shopping. I said, so what?
Now, have you confirmed the guest? Is he definitely going to be there?
I am not in charge of booking guests on this program, sir.
Well, this man is 95% there. And we'll let you know Friday if he's going to be there. But we have a former Ranger of books, and his first name starts with Eddie, and his last name ends in hospital. Eddie Boxcar Hospital will be there on November 26th with all us Blue Shirt Bandits, and I am going to reenact.
This is confirmed?
I just said it's 95%.
Oh.
We'll let you know
Okay.
Friday. And Jim will reenact the Clark Gillies and hospital fight. They're alive.
Except.
So Eddie Hospital is 95% confirmed to be there. Let's get up and arrange your roll call. Avery Rules. That's right. Claude Rules. I always say Claude. I always get into like this ladies' man voice when I do Claude, because that's what I think of. He's a ladies' man, but he's got a rough side to him. He's one of those guys who's a bruiser in and out of the bedroom. The old 24. You heard Stan Fish LaCalle. He's predicting 30 goals for Cali. I don't think there's going to be 30 goals between Zabinski and Cali. How about that? But I would love to see that Warrior get 30 goals. And then we have Clalacata, 17. I don't know what Clalacata reminds me of. Well, I do know what it reminds me of. It reminds me of cold cuts or ricotta. So how about you get a big piece of bologna, put some ricotta cheese in it, and we got ourselves a date. Coast of the Crazy Greek, who will you riding with me? Shotgun to the Islander. Soiree out there in the mausoleum in the parking lot at the Motor Lodge. Me and the Coast of the Crazy Greek will be exchanging medications on the way there. And then we got Cutter the Maple Leaf, Cutter following us. Leafs Luca Caputi was sent down. I was very disappointed. Azeem Kadri was sent down. Cutter the Maple Leaf. I hope you call in and give us your updates on the Maple Leafs this year. I'd like to hear something else in this Ranger crap all the time. D.B. Maven, the great D.B. Maven, who's going at XLB, was replaced by Steve Eminger. I know you think XLB was better than Eminger, but D.B. Maven, the voice of reason, glad to see you. Dig Deep. Gotta say, Dig Deep is a great new, kind of new contributor to the program, adding his insightful and in-depth. Get that deep, in-depth analysis. And then it is Frosty 99, the Italian Stallion. That's right. He's an Italian man, a stud. Stud bull. We got Grotchev. Oh, woe is me with Evgeny Grotchev. Well, maybe we'll take a road trip to Hartford, Grotchev, and go see him, because that's probably where he's going to be for the next couple of years until he gets the sense of urgency back in this game. And we have four or five guests. Welcome to the show, guests. I assume one is Mark Messier, John Rosasco, Glenn Sather, Ken Janander. By the way, Rangers got to fire Ken Janander. He sucks. And then we have Henrik is 10, which is Kristen, who was outside the Hockey Night Live yelling and screaming at three bald heads and one not bald head in Ron Newgay, screaming like a maniac. I love it. Iris Puck 93. Let me kiss the Blarney's toe. You kiss the Blarney's toe? You rub it? I don't know what's going on.
You kiss it.
You kiss it. Shut up before I hit you with my shillelagh. And then you have Jackie Lamba. That's right. Not happy that Stan Fishface predicted that the Blackhawks would not make the playoffs. Not happy. Actually has a jersey. A Girardi jersey. That doesn't say Girardi on it, but candy. That's a dedicated fan. I'll tell you that much. And then you have 68, great Eva, who was definitely lauded in the chat room for her hockey knowledge, and she knows her hockey. And if you don't know, Yog 68 and Avery Rules are married. And Yog 68, Eva's actually Claude's first date. But Eva was meeting her family and watching a Ranger game. And then we have my favorite screen game of all time, the Blues! Gotcha! That's right. I love that name because you got to be a little bit Looney Tune to follow this team. And the great man. And then we have Quick Release. Quick Release, who's on America's Top Chef. I don't want to show you that I can see you. You're a chef. You got to be on a reality show. And then Rangers Dude 35, who's going to be there with me at the Coliseum. Mike Zippo is bringing a grill, he tells me. Zach, I saw you with your harem the other day. Holy cow, you're hanging out with some nice-looking broads. Way to go, Zach. Rangers Smurf. I'm Rangers Smurf. 10,002, 1002, Rangers Smurf. I like the fact that you say hello when you come in here. I love it. I love it. You're an interactive young lady. Well, I don't know. You could be a guy, but most men don't want to be known as Smurf. What's your Mark Pavlich? Well, Regis Smurf, I salute you. Ricky O. Ricky O, do we have a confirmation on Ed Hoc Raw? Please tell us so. And Rock 1193, who sometimes fills in for me, Rock 1193, you're a great guy. I hope to see you at November 26th. Stan from Bayside, Queens. I was born in Hollis, Queens, and I lived in Maxford, Queens, and Stan is from Bayside, Queens. Is there really a bay near there, or is this Bayside? I don't know. I don't know my Queens geography. Walker, New York Ranger, been here since the beginning, rough and steady, tough and ready. Wazili. Wow, the great Waz. Wait. Quick Release is not just a baby, he's not a chef, he's a cook. Wow, Philly, the instigator in the... Oh, wait, the instigator. Isn't that the name of it? Another block talk show? Oh, sorry. And then, Young Jimmy T, I love you. You were quick with the comments, you were quick with a quip, and that's what I like. And that's what makes this ship. Ah, that didn't come out right. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the... Blue Shirt Panther. I know it was a little bit weak this week, but I have a little bit of stomach virus. I'm lost as you get up over here. But I love you all, guys. And thanks for coming out. And now here's Jimmy.
Good job, as always. And don't forget, guys, we'll be back Friday night, 8 o'clock, Rangers season preview. We'll talk all about the Rangers. Maybe have a few people join us. And hopefully, Eddie, you'll be feeling better by then.
I hope so. I usually rebound from these things pretty quick.
Hopefully just a 24-hour bug. And this Saturday, I'm off to Houston for the weekend. See the Giants, baby. You want to see the New York Giants take on those Houston Texans. And, you know, I put a thing out on Big Blue View, which is the Giants website on SB Nation, that I was going to the game and if anybody wanted to meet up. And I thought maybe I'd get like a couple of responses and, you know, see if anybody wanted to tailgate Sunday or if anybody wanted to maybe hook up Saturday night, go for a couple of drinks or something. I got, not only did I get like 25 responses of people that want to come hang out with us Saturday night, but one gentleman invited everyone that's going on Big Blue View to his tailgate party on Sunday morning. At the Reliant Stadium. So we're going to be with about 25 Giant fans Saturday night at the Hooters in Houston, and then about another 20 Giant fans tailgating at the Reliant Stadium on Sunday morning. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun this weekend.
All right. Well, big Houston, huh? Let me see what happened when I was down in Houston. It's freaking hot. That's all I remember about it. And I also saw Roger Clemens pitch.
Oh, nice. Lucky you. Or as Susan Waldman calls him, Roger Clemens, oh my God.
Right, yeah. Jimmy, we got any phone calls? Any guys want to talk about, maybe people want to talk about the guests we had on earlier? I know they got a lot of pent-up anger, frustrations.
Well, not Mandar. Good evening, Mandar. How are you?
Good evening, Jim. Good evening, Eddie. How was everybody tonight?
I'm doing good. You sound very calm, very gentlemanly. I enjoyed your wisecracking about the 2003 second line for the devil.
Yeah, when you start bragging about Patrick Ilyich on your second line along with Who's the other Joker? Chris Grattan, somebody. They're all the same.
Jamie Langenberger.
Yeah, you know. Well, it's all good from 2003. It's like, you know, that's fine. They can brag about that all they want. And the loss of Paul Martin. You mean all-star Norris Trophy contender Paul Martin? I mean, I don't get this wonderfulness. And John McClane, oh, this is Brian Trache coming part two. Somebody said it right in the chat room, and I want to recognize him. I don't know who it was, but somebody said that he probably got the job by doing a nice handwritten note to King Lou over there.
Could somebody corroborate this? But has Lou Lamoriello done absolutely squat since the cap has been instituted?
He still doesn't understand how to do it. You heard the devil guy's biggest. You heard the devil guy's biggest fear is that somebody gets hurt, and there's a reason for this. They only got 20 guys on their roster out of the 23 that they could have. It's because they can't afford to put anybody else on the team. You get some injuries, they can't bring up anybody to go ahead and replace these guys.
Right.
He's a
master. I don't think he knows what the cap is. He makes, let's say again, these people that surround the New York Mets, these teams that surround the Rangers in this metropolitan area, they're all buffoons. I mean, I know the Devils want some cups there. You know, you got to give them props for that, I guess. But some of these other moves just make any sense. Don't make any sense. These buildings they play in, well, not the buildings, but Devils play in Newark. I'll just play in that motor lodge. Anyway.
Right, and the Penguins just got a new building, but I love the arrogance of the Penguin guy. That's pretty fun.
Hey, you got Malkin, you got Crosby.
Yeah.
A couple of cups. I can see, but I like how he doesn't even worry. He's not worried.
Oh, the Flyer guy. This is too funny. But that's okay.
But you know how it works. When people say that this doesn't bother me, I don't worry. Those are the people who worry.
Sean Avery has no talent, no skills. That's the same team that they said the exact same thing about Claude Lemieux. The guy can't do anything else, but he's an agitating guy. He's the same guys that are the agitators that everybody hates, but everybody would love to have on their own team.
Yeah. Hell yeah. And the Islander fan basically said that Avery was a disgrace to hockey. How do you feel about that?
Well, of course they're going to say that. I would say it, too, if I was an Islander fan. But then again, I would think anybody that makes more than $5 a year is a disgrace to hockey if I was an Islander fan.
Oh, come on now.
No, No.
The Islanders have a classy organization over there, man.
You throw that bait right out in the water. You think I need to be baited on this team?
I mean, what was your – I think last year you said – what do they slap a new coat of paint on the mausoleum? Make the Wilder fans think it's a bright. I love how they talk. That Bill Jaffe, what's that guy's name? Billy Jaffe?
Right.
He got fired. And I saw him today on NHL Live, and he's still talking about how the Islanders are rebuilding. How long have they been rebuilding? 83? 85? Their rebuilding process is taking longer than ours.
It's amazing that think of the talent. They were saying, you know, the loss of these Okposo, Strider is a loss. I'll give him that. But Okposo and Robbie Schrempf? Really? Robbie Schrempf? You know, it's funny. I typed Robbie Schrempf and Carlo Poso, and I was typing ha, 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 because I was really laughing at that. It's like, Robbie Schrempf. P.A. Parento is a second-line player. P.A. Parento wasn't second-line at Hartford last year. And we didn't make the playoffs. Like I said, they're 19th in a 15-team conference. This has epic bad written all over it. This has worse than the 12-win season they had in 73.
Wow. You feel that they will barely reach double-digit wins in regulation?
I will tell you this. I do not think, I'm saying this on October 6th, the Islanders will not have double-digit wins by mid-December. They still will not have double-digit wins.
In regulation, not with shootouts or any.
It doesn't matter. You got to get to a shootout.
You heard it here first.
You heard, yeah. Seriously, take me to task if I'm wrong.
All right. And what do you think about the Penguins? You think they're going to win the division?
I don't think the Penguins are that strong. I don't see their wingers being anything. You know, they're like the opposite of us. Their wingers aren't anything special. Their defense isn't anything special. And Fleury won a cup 2 years ago, and he what he did to the bed last year. So,
see you all Friday night, everybody. Thanks for listening. Have a good night.
Get out of here.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think this conference is that strong.
Sorry,
I really
stuck
don't.
Up on us.
You know,
hold on, we got.
We know the whole conference, but do you think the division's not very strong?
I think the division's very competitive. It's a division that nobody wants to play night in and night out, with the exception of the last place team. But there's not anybody that's dominant. You're not going to see a team that goes out there and runs away and hides. I think Washington will run away and hide with the conference because of the division they're playing in and how many games they got against those guys. But other than that, I could easily see any one of the four teams winning the division wouldn't be a shock to me. That includes the Rangers, because I think there could be guys performing a little bit above where some of us would project. You got some youth there. You've taken away some liabilities. You know, I liked what I saw in preseason, but we had that last year, so we got to be wary about that. But
yeah.
But the Devils have to run. That luck has got to run out at some point, because on paper they're not that good a team. And the Flyers have a lot of talent, but they got nothing in net, nothing. And Michael Layton's their number one guy, and he's out for a month. Who is their starting goaltender?
Some Russian guy.
Yeah.
Or
Bobrovsky.
Right. You know, I mean. It wasn't any great goings last year going into the year with what was it? Emery was it going in last year and somebody else. Layton came in late. You know, these guys can laugh all they want about having, you know, stock forwards, and they do. I like their forwards, and their defense is fine, but they're going nowhere with that goaltending. Zero.
Hold on 1 second. I don't know who this is. 201-257. Who's this?
Hey, it's Ricky, guys. What's up?
Oh, hey Ricky.
Hey, what's up, Rick?
Just
sorry to keep you
to
holding.
The Mandar.
I didn't know it was you.
Better watch it, Mandar. Ricky's coming after you.
No, he's not.
Mandar is the biggest instigator. He's worse than I am on HF.
Just a little bit.
I just emailed Hospitar again, so hopefully he'll get back to me tomorrow with a confirmation, and I'm going to call Gilly on Friday morning.
So Gilles Bellamy.
So maybe we'll get both of them. We'll see. You might have to pack them in the back of a U-Haul and drag them out.
Yeah, Villiers doesn't take up that much space, though, right?
No, he's really small. Ricky,
tell Villiers it's near the Meadowlands, near the racetrack.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? You know what's crazy? Sunday I did a Byron Hunt signing, the ex-Giant, and we do it at
Byron Hunt?
Yeah.
Number 57.
You want his autograph? I got a different 86 World Champion Giant every Sunday, Jimmy. I didn't know you were a Giant fan. I'll start getting some autographs for you.
You didn't know I was a Giants fan?
No, I really didn't, to be honest with you. And I kind of felt bad now. But I talk to Byron every day, so I'll get him to sign a picture for you.
Well, thank you.
But anyway, the head of the Meadowlands Sports Commission was drinking at the bar and hanging out with Byron. And the Meadowlands racetrack has been sold to the owners of the new Meadowlands Stadium, and they are knocking the racetrack down in 18 months.
Wow. Really? My dad was telling me they were going to get rid of it. And my dad's big into harness racing.
They're going to put anything else there?
No, it's going to be a parking lot for the new stadium. Because they're leasing parking from four neighboring towns around Giant Stadium, and it's costing them a fortune. And they are going to knock the racetrack down, and the racetrack will become a parking lot so that the season ticket holders don't need to be bussed in or out of the stadium from this point forward.
Wow.
That's terrible, because, I mean, you know, at least from, you know, my father is super into harness racing. It's like, that was the mecca for harness racing, like, you know, 70s.
Yeah, but you know
like
what, Eddie? It's become like a hangout for dirty old men now. It's like really like a drunken... It's all simulcasting
yeah.
now. And
yeah,
like,
all the time.
Wasn't that every racetrack? I'm not trying to. Aren't they all like that? The only racetracks I've been to, that's what it was.
Yeah, it kind of is a shady area to be around.
Hey, used to run into Mickey Rivers down there.
It's funny because it's like you want to run into ex-hockey, like Rangers, you go to a racetrack. You want to hang out with ex-Islanders, you go to a gay bathhouse.
Ricky, you got to listen to the podcast when I put all the other teams' bloggers on notice that the boogeyman is here, and there'll be nothing. It was like a wrestling promo.
Well, how about this one? I got a phone call today. And Eddie, you know I know the guy's agent.
Right.
I get a phone call today from him at work. And he also represents, I told you, three or four Islander tough guys in their organization. And Gillies is going to skate the center ice on their first shift, drop his gloves, and take his helmet off on Monday afternoon in the Nassau Coliseum.
I will be there.
They fought one time, and the one time they fought, Bugard knocked him unconscious with one punch, if you YouTube it. It was right after Gillies was traded by the Rangers to Anaheim for Steve Ruchin. And Gillies fought... Gillies fought Bugard in front of the Mighty Ducks bench. They squared up, and Bugard hit him with a right hand, and he was out cold. He was out. So he's gonna. It's actually a revenge fight, so it should be a really good fight.
Good. Looking forward to that. So, all right. That's the scoop. Listen to that podcast. Listen to me go crazy on like a. I felt like the Grand Wizard of Wrestling.
Woo! Let me tell you something, bloggers.
The only thing missing was the well, you know, Mean Gene.
Well, you know, brother.
Well, you know, Mean Gene. Let me tell you something about Derek Bugard. He's coming. He's here, and he's not going anywhere. You better be afraid when you step on the ice, brother.
Eddie,
what you
going to
do?
At the 26th, I'm going to dress as Captain Lou Albano, and we'll do a WWE program for Bugard.
Great,
Captain Lou.
Captain Lou!
Unborn virgin goat's milk. You put his head in, you put his brain in a pigeon, it'll fly backwards, Mean Gene.
That's what he used to say. All right, guys, take care.
All right, guys, I'll talk to you later.
All right, guys, talk to you later.
See you Friday. Eddie, I'll talk to you later.